Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Yeah, 5 o'clock. 5 at 5 on Grant and Danny, presented by Wave Soda, which is awesome. Super Simply Bubble Water. Beautiful splash of real juice and a little caffeine. Unsweetened, no stevia, no artificial sweeteners. Got a clean finish, Danny. Goes down smooth. 2 to 6 grams of sugar, 15 to 25 calories per can. Order now. Do what I do. Do what Danny does. Get yourself a shipment. 15% off. Promo code either of our names, Grant or Danny, for that 15% off at wavesoda.com.
I used the promo code Grant because I felt weird about using my own name when I got my order of mango, tangerine, and grapefruit. I do the three flavor mix. You can mix and match. All of the flavors are delicious and refreshing.
5 at 5 starts on the ice. We talked to John Carlson today. If you missed our interview with him at 2:45, make sure you rewind our show on the Odyssey app, or you can grab the podcast when we're all set and done tonight at grantanddanny.com. Carlson, at the trade deadline, doesn't get involved or advocate for anything he thinks his team needs to do, and that's after watching the Islanders pull off a big trade yesterday.
I'm not advocating for anything. I think we have a great team right now. I think we got a lot of depth that we have. A lot of people haven't even seen, get the opportunity to play this year. So, I'm not in any of those discussions. I guess maybe if a team kind of knows you've played with someone or know something, maybe that's a different story, but just to get some more insight into somebody. But from my standpoint, absolutely not. I'm just sitting and watching the news like the rest of you guys are and seeing what's happening. And I know that, whatever they think is going to be the best for our team is probably what's going to go and happen.
NHL trade deadline, Monday. April 12th, coming up on Monday. What do you think the Caps should or will do?
I keep hearing about this goaltender thing. I don't know, man. I don't know that I want to take on a huge salaried veteran that I'd almost kind of rather let one of those two guys get hot. I know that's a big thing to chance when you're talking about a veteran club like that, but there's been enough good sample between those two guys where I would feel comfortable going into a playoff series there at goalie. I think they need to find a way to be better defensively, whether that's another winger, whether that's a defensive-minded center, whether that's upgrading the actual blue line. I know there aren't that many guys just floating around in the ether that you can fix, GP, but that's what I think they need to upgrade to me is to be more sound and consistent defensively.
I'm not necessarily in on trading for a goalie either. Now, I got to know which goalie we're talking about before I give you a hard and fast ruling on that. I'm okay with the two kids that they got. I understand, though, that there's nerves about one of them being able to get you to the Stanley Cup final. My crazy get creative theory here is, what if they packaged one of their veteran defensemen with a draft pick for an upgrade on defense?
Uh-huh.
I'm just going to throw a name out there, and I don't even know if this is fair to the guy because he's a good player and he seems like a really nice dude. Brendan Dillon, let's say.
Oh.
And a draft pick for someone that might be a little bit better on the back end. And you go send Dillon and a pick to a team that may want the pick more, but now you got a veteran in a young locker room. And you give me your slightly better defenseman, and I got a fit and an upgrade maybe on a pair. Something like that, getting creative like that, is what I'd like to see Mac try to pull off here at this deadline. You're right. We've got guests that come on that keep saying goaltender.
Everybody says goalie.
Steve Wino of the Associated Press today said they should trade for a goalie. Tarik El-Bashir of the Athletic last week told us the same thing. I'm not adamantly against it. I just think that it's going to be hard to thread the needle. They can't add a whole lot of salary. They've got very little room to maneuver with. You're trying to bring in a veteran goalie who's been there before. With the money that they've got, I think that's hard to make work. Number two in our 5 at 5, Danny's been waiting to do this all day. Let's hit the links. The Masters are being run back for the 85th time. 88 golfers, 18 past winners, 6 first-timers making up the field, including defending champion Dustin Johnson, who went minus 20. Last time we had the Masters, last calendar year, just a few months ago now, DJ looking to become the 4th golfer to go back-to-back at the Masters. Jack, Tiger, Nick Faldo, the other 3 to do it. He says even though he's the defending champ, he doesn't feel any added pressure.
The mindset coming into the week doesn't change at all just because, you know, it's another tournament. You know, I won the Masters those 5 months ago. So, you know, coming in this week, it's a new year. It's a new tournament. So the mindset's still the same. I mean, I come in and I'm, you know, just trying to – well, I'm ready for the event, but just, you know, going out, getting ready for the tournament, you know, seeing how the course is playing, working on the shots that I need to work on. And so that's kind of the mindset, but so it's not going to change.
Golfers are out there golfing, GP. Guys looking to get up and down, right? That's a phrase that golf people use, try to get there in a short amount of strokes and putt it in. It's really all about putting and the chipping and hitting irons and also hitting your driver sometimes. You want to go straight off the tee there and not go into some of the wooded areas and get up and down. It's mainly get up and down. You want to get legs, but you also want to sit sometimes. Depends on what you want the ball to do.
How do you think the course is going to play? Remember how
guys are going to go low.
Things are much slower.
Great. Guys are going low.
No, but last time we had this in the fall because of the torrential rain,
right?
It was a different time in Georgia. There's been a lot less rain here recently.
Uh-huh.
I'm guessing this is going to be a fast course. What do you think?
I don't think it plays as fast as you think.
Really?
I think there are enough azaleas that everyone's telling me about that's going to slow things down. Because you're going to look at the azaleas.
What's the speed of the course going to be, roughly?
Medium.
Medium
to hilly.
Wow.
A lot of grass.
A couple of golfers that I think are of intrigue today. Dustin Johnson shot a +2, by the way, tied for 33rd.
Mm.
Not a great first round in his quest.
Not a good day for DJ.
To defend,
right? That's
his
what you
title.
Do when you like golf. You say their nickname.
Jordan Spieth, back from the dead, won his first tournament in 4 years last week.
Oh, good.
Remember, you didn't hear Spieth's name forever. And then all of a sudden you started hearing his name last week.
Yeah.
And Brooks Koepka is back. He had a knee surgery a month ago. Was supposed to have been out for several months initially, and he's already back playing, says he's fine. He also today shot a +2. He and Dustin Johnson with Bubba Watson all tied for 33rd in the standings. The leader right now is -4. That leader at the Masters is Justin Rose.
Justin Rose.
Justin Rose.
It's a longtime professional golfer, Justin Rose, right?
Give me a breakdown. What do you know?
First name Justin. Goes by Rosie or JR in the clubhouse. Well liked by the other guys.
Is he?
Yeah. Good game. Gets up and down. Gets up and down.
Let's go to number 3 in our 5 at 5. To the gridiron we go. Michael Lombardi says Washington's going to get up, maybe not down. He thinks they're moving up the draft board. He thinks they love Trey Lance. This was Michael Lombardi on the GM Shuffle podcast that he does.
They're going to wait to that draft. And if Trey Lance starts to slide, they're going to go get his ass. That's what he's saying right there. They're going to go get his ass. We're going to react to what happens in front of us. He's not lying. You know, Ron's just being totally honest. Now, do they want to go up to 4 and guarantee them that they get Trey Lance? Well, I'm probably, you know, Atlanta probably wants 2 number ones in future years. And, you know, and so it's too expensive. So it's cost effective for them to sit there and wait to see what happens. I'm sure they're engaged in conversations with Atlanta. But I think that that's where they are. I think they want Trey Lance. I think they're willing to go get him. I think they want to do it in a way to where they can minimize their cost.
So this isn't just they're in the market to go up and get a quarterback. Hey, if Fields drops to 7 or he might be on the board for Carolina, they might make a move. This is they like Trey Lance. They're trying to figure out a way to go up and get that guy. And they've already talked to Atlanta about it. That's pretty big as far as I'm concerned. I don't know how 100% confident I am that I would. I don't think I'd make a bet that occurs, GP. But I guess it would if it does happen on draft night, I wouldn't be as shocked as I would have been had I not heard this.
I don't see it. And he's referencing a Rivera comment. I've heard nothing from Ron Rivera that screams we're trading up. In fact, everything he said about Washington's plan now feels like they feel great about Ryan Fitzpatrick this season. And they want to prioritize this coming year. They paid Brandon Scherff. They rented him for one season to stay relevant and postseason competent this year. They brought in Ryan Fitzpatrick so that they didn't regress. Shouldn't you then go get a left tackle for this year? Shouldn't you then upgrade positions of need, such as inside linebacker or tight end for this year? Are you going to just stash a quarterback on the bench for a couple of years? Don't get me wrong. That's got to be the number one priority long term. They haven't been in the long-term business this offseason. I don't know that I expect them to start being in said business now. 5 at 5 on Grant and Danny, thanks to our friends at Wave Soda. Let's go to number 4. We'll stay on the gridiron. Go outside of D.C., though. Tom Brady was on Good Morning America, did a sit-down interview with Michael Strahan. I think the gap tooth is back for Michael Strahan. We called it, by the way. I'm pretty sure that was a big...
Yeah, we said this feels prankish.
It was because it was days before April Fool's, but we said it. This feels like an April Fool's prank, and I think we were right about that. He had a gap tooth when he was interviewing Tom Brady. In this interview, Brady talked about wanting to continue to play football, and good for him. Stop rushing Tom Brady out. Stella's still got her groove back.
After the Super Bowl, one of my favorite things is to see the families of the players.
Yeah.
Come up to the players and just enjoy that they have. But we also saw Giselle whisper into your ear, what more do you have to prove?
Yeah.
So, Tom, what more do you have to prove?
I don't think proving it for me is the motivation. Like, I still want to play. You know, I got like a little sickness in me that just wants to throw a freaking spiral, you know what I mean? Also about football, once you stop, you can't go back and do it. I got some more football in me, not a lot, and I know that, but what I got left, I'm gonna give everything I got.
I don't know when the end is going to be. I think he's going to end up having one of those Peyton Manning-esque, honestly, drop-offs where all of a sudden he just can't do it anymore. But when would you bet that is? Not this year, probably. Maybe not 2 years from now. Like, that dude can still be incredibly accurate, can still make that little frustrating as all hell slight move in the pocket to avoid the pressure that barely misses him by a quarter of an inch and deliver a strike down the football field. He's got an excellent roster around him where he could just, you know, deal it to Pro Bowl caliber receivers and tight ends and a good offensive line and a great offensive coach. I wouldn't go anywhere either.
Tom Brady should play for another 3 or 4 years if he wants to. No one can push him out that door. You do you. You're still playing at a high level, by the way. How does Michael Strahan know what Giselle said when she whispered in Tom Brady's ear? That's my big question from that audio.
That's a good takeaway.
Honestly, is that something I missed, a story where we caught Giselle on mic?
Yeah, it was NFL Films thing.
Okay, so there was like a clip of her actually saying.
Absolutely, yeah.
My man, there you go, Darius, saving me from going on a big rant here. That's a good guy. That's what a producer does. We're earning your paycheck right there. I didn't see that. But good for Michael Strahan for seeing that. You got nothing to prove. And I can totally relate to Tom Brady saying he's got this sickness of wanting to throw spirals. Mine's not wanting to throw spirals. Mine's like eating a delicious
sandwich. Eating carbs,
sandwich.
Bagels. You ever had a bagel?
I've got a sickness.
I have a disease.
I'm addicted to sugar. I'm addicted to carbohydrates. But I have a sickness for obsessing over the show, honestly.
Yeah.
Like, my wife doesn't really get... Your show is at 2. It's 9:15. Why are you already stressed and like on your computer? Just trying to do the best show possible.
Yeah.
Why do you're on at 2. Do you want to leave the house at 10?
It's 7:30 at dinner time and you just finished your show. Why are you looking up stories?
All I think about is there's a million people that want to do what I get to do every day.
Uh-huh.
That's all I can think about.
Yeah.
Tom Brady's probably the same way. There was a great line from Jay Leno, I think it was. My buddy told me once. Where Jay Leno, and people loved him or they didn't. You know, I don't know that Jay Leno was the funniest guy ever necessarily.
He was a grinder, though, man.
The most talented, but he outworked everybody.
Nobody worked harder than that guy.
And he had a great line once where he said, I was watching an NBA game one time and I saw Arsenio Hall sitting courtside. I think it was Hall. And his point was like, I got him. I beat him tomorrow. Because he's sitting there grinding over his monologue for the next day. And he saw Arsenio cutting up with an NBA player, you know, on courtside. And the same thing, like you'd see the, and his point was, I'm going to outwork everyone. Tom Brady has an addiction to throwing that perfect spiral, to winning that football game. He'll probably turn on the TV and he'll see a quarterback sitting watching a game in the suite. He'll see another quarterback, you know, high-fiving a celebrity at a concert.
Sees one quarterback hosting Jeopardy.
He sees a quarterback hosting Jeopardy. Attaboy.
Oh, thank you.
But he's got an addiction to go win another Super Bowl. Fifth in our 5 at 5, I want to shout out one of the greats to ever do it, one of the greatest athletes to ever live, one of my favorite people I've ever had the privilege of meeting, Henry Aaron, who on this date 47 years ago,
how about it,
passed Babe Ruth on the all-time home runs list, became the home run king at 715.
He's sitting on 714. Here's the pitch by Downing. Swinging. There's a drive into left center field. That ball is going to be out of here. It's gone. It's 7-15. There's a new home run champion of all time, and it's Henry Aaron. The fireworks are going. Henry Aaron is coming around third. His teammates are at home plate, and listen to this crowd. A sellout crowd is cheering Henry Aaron, the home run king of all time, 7-15.
Please don't be upset with me, anybody. I'm not trying to do, unlike the caller a couple calls ago, make anything about politics or being political. I'm just saying, it's a little bit of a shame to me that the All-Star Game isn't in Atlanta this year, because Hank Aaron from Atlanta, great Atlanta Brave, would have been so much fun to have him honored and celebrated in the ovation. It just would have been really, really cool. You could still do that, and they should still do that. Leftists on early January, quite possibly the greatest baseball player that ever lived. There is a great conversation in that. How would you like to get beat today? Would you like to have him steal a base? Would you like to have him go track down a fly ball as good as anybody? People don't remember how good a defender he was. Multiple-time gold glover. In addition to the home runs, was a career 305 hitter. Did everything well on the baseball field. Everything well. There's nothing that guy couldn't do. But just an absolute legend, man. What a moment. However many years ago.
Growing up, I saw the video of fans running out onto the field to hug him and high-five him as he was rounding third. I had no idea what that guy went through during that summer. And that's only 47 years ago. It's not like it was 80 years ago. He was getting letters. Supposedly, he got 900,000 letters in 1973. Among them, someone telling him to retire or die. Just racists. Just terrible people.
Just horrible people.
Because he was black and one of the great athletes on the planet, saying awful things. Quote that I saw today, and this is attributed to Sports Illustrated in 1992 from Henry Aaron. 1973 should have been the happiest time of my life, should have been the best year, but it was the worst year. It was hell. So many bad things happened. Things I'm still trying to get over and may never will.
Mm.
That's sad to think about.
Yeah, it is.
Awful. And hopefully nobody ever has to go through that again who plays in sports, because guys like Henry Aaron did it so gracefully and were so successful. Grant and Danny on the Fan, that is your 5 at 5. Next, a team walked off with a win today in egregious fashion. One of the worst endings to a baseball game I've seen in a long time. And baseball's umpiring crew that allowed this should be ashamed of themselves.
They should be robots.
That's next on GND.
One, two coming. And the slider in there. Strike three.
Hit him. To get out of the way. It was a strike, but he didn't move. And Don Mattingly is going to come out and argue the call with the home plate umpire, Ron Culpa.
The ball hit him, and it was going to be a strike.
Yep.
So the Mets are celebrating. The Marlins are arguing. And unless this is overruled, the Mets have themselves a 3-2 win as Conforto is nicked by a pitch. Now, by rule, you have to make an effort to get out of the way. And that's what the Marlins are arguing.
That just happened. Grant and Danny on the Fan, welcome back. So that was moments ago. The Mets came back, walk off with a win over the Marlins in the ninth inning in their home opener at Citi Field today. But as if it wasn't clear enough in that broadcast call there, we can kind of take you through the specifics. This is ridiculous. So I'm not mad at Michael Conforto, who got hit. I'm mad at the umpiring crew and baseball for allowing a game to end this way. He's a left-handed batter. He's got a big old elbow pad the size of a freaking blanket on his right elbow, which is not far from home plate because he's crowding the plate as it is. The pitch is a little over the belt. I mean, it's middle up, I would say.
Yeah, it's a strike.
It's in the strike zone. Like, you watch a game now, for almost every pitch, they've got the box right there. It's in the box. It's not like, oh, that might be over near the plate. No, no, no. It's in the parameters of the box. The problem was, so was his elbow. I just tweeted it out if you want to check it out, at Grant H. Paulson. He extends his elbow out into the strike zone, turning his back with his elbow going further into the strike zone, and the ball nicks off of his elbow pad into the catcher's mitt. Mets proceed to celebrate and jump all over each other and high-five like they've won. Play goes to review. Now, I guess they're just reviewing to see if the ball made contact with the elbow pad.
I think that's the only review. Yeah, that's what they were doing, it seems like.
But shouldn't you be able to say he didn't make an attempt to not get hit? Well, not only that, he purposefully tried to get hit, it seemed like, with his elbow. Which, again, he's doing what he's supposed to do. Try to get on base, try to get hit by a pitch,
whatever. Yeah, because they win the game if they do that.
Your job, get on base. Umpire's job, don't allow this. Don't have a game end this way. Umpire's job, be the arbiter of the rules, please. The rule says don't purposefully get hit. Make an attempt not to. The Mets beat the Marlins on a guy getting hit by a pitch that was in the strike zone. What else needs to be said?
This is the summary. And listen, the Mets, by the way, have already tied the game in the ninth. They got the bases loaded. They got a great chance to win this game when, you know, after the save has been blown by the Marlins. So they may end up winning anyway. That's not the issue. This could have been any team. This could have been the Mariners and the Twins who are playing right now on the television in our studio. This is outrageous. There is no point to having arbiters of the game if you can't figure this out. There's no point in having replay if you can't figure this out. If we can't do this, what can we do? If we can't get this one right, that's clear as day. This isn't Jose Tabata ruining Max Scherzer's perfect game on a ball where his elbow sort of tracks it, but it's out of the strike zone, so you can kind of live with it. And it's tough to live with because it ruined a perfect game with two outs in the ninth. This is a strike. What hitter in his right mind shouldn't be going, well, why don't I put an elbow guard on and eliminate the inside corner of the plate for a pitcher to be able to throw to? I will stand on the plate with an elbow guard, lean out over it on a strike. This isn't, you know, just off the black inner third. This isn't borderline. Great, this was as clear a strike as you'd ever find in sports. This is a strike. It barely glances the piece of accoutrement on Michael Conforto, and you end the game. I don't care if it's the first inning. I don't care if it's the leadoff hitter. This was a strike. That batter was awarded first base. Happened to be very consequential because it was a walk-off version of that. But if we can't do this, if we don't have a replay system that can easily and quickly determine, hey, wait a minute, you guys, this pitch is a clear strike in this little box that we... that the broadcasters can figure out, we can't somehow, then do away with all of it. Do away with all of it, and let's just go high school style if that's what's going to happen. What an embarrassment for the game. Embarrassing.
I got a tweet here from saying, it's our buddy Cody, who actually works the station, was working the midday show earlier today with Craig Hoffman and Brian Mitchell. And he said, I don't disagree with you guys that often. He says, but I put a lot on the player for this. If he's not wearing an elbow guard, he makes an effort to move out of the way. If he doesn't feel the safety of having an elbow pad, in this situation, this doesn't happen. He's right. 100% right, Cody. It is annoying to me that guys wear all this padding like they're going into war and then purposefully crowd the plate and get hit. I hate that. I think it's ridiculous that they just wear pitches and they're wearing 17 pounds worth of gear. Very frustrating. But the bad guy here, we're doing a pie?
Right.
Home plate umpire. Please do your job. The job of the player is to get on base. And you are naturally in the mode of pitch coming towards you in a big spot, wearing it.
Whatever you can do, man.
So he's just doing what he's got to do. Doesn't mean I have to be 100% team Michael Conforto here. You're right. If he didn't have the elbow pad, he wouldn't have probably wanted to get hit on the elbow. He had the elbow pad. He got hit on purpose. Cool. I need the umpires to now say, stay right there while I tear the phone book because you just got rung up on strike three, homie.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and punch the raggedy Ann. You sit your ass down.
Because
that's
a strike.
That's a strike. It's not even debatable either. And so, but to the protective stuff point, it used to be, and maybe I'm wrong about this, but I always had this in my mind, this was true. You used to have to be able to sort of prove that you had an injury at one point to be able to wear something. I think they did away with that. I think they just kind of let guys do whatever they want. Because I remember Jeff Bagwell, right? Remember Bagwell used to sit down super low, very handsy. People didn't want Jeff Bagwell to get his arms extended. They didn't like – Jeff Bagwell liked that ball out over the plate. So people tried to jam Bagwell all the time. And he broke his hand and missed significant amounts of time. He wore this big batting glove with a giant pad on top of it. And, of course, that was fine because he'd broken his hand before. He wanted to protect it. And that cost – that was his livelihood, you know? So if Trey Turner wanted to wear a hand guard or a finger guard because of his gnarled, weird finger that caused him to throw cutters to first base for the 2019 season, I don't necessarily hate that. But if guys are protecting an injury, that's really what these things were designed for. It's not supposed to give you sort of superhuman confidence to be able to stick your arm out over the plate. You know what I mean? Because if you want to do that to a guy throwing 99, good luck using your elbow the next 6 days.
How hot takey do we want to go here? I mean, how New York sports talk radio from 21 years ago, Mike and the Mad Dog, do you want to be?
All the way. Jack it up. Let's go.
Are you trying to do a... they shouldn't be allowed to wear protective gear bit?
I'm not doing that.
Is that what you want to do?
I'm not doing that. You could do that. You want to do that?
I don't think I want to do that. I think that a guy wearing an elbow pad that looks like he's in the roller derby,
yeah,
getting hit by a pitch on the elbow is a lot more annoying.
That's exactly what it looks like with the roller derby, by the way.
It's a lot more annoying
yeah.
than a guy not wearing an elbow pad getting hit in the elbow. Mm-hmm. Because I know that you put that on today, right before you went up to the plate, and you said, I get hit, that's fine.
It's not a big deal. I got a pad on.
But no, I'm not taking away the protective gear because I'm the guy that tells you shouldn't purposely throw at players. This is a weapon. We're throwing 99 now. Used to be that you went out there to have a chin wag. And, you know, you'd come home and say, did you watch me on TV tonight, dear? They've got color televisions. Now you can watch my games. And you used to throw 82 miles an hour. We have to act impressed with guys that put up a lot of strikeouts back in the day when they were throwing to my fat bleep. I mean, I'm not impressed, by the way. Sorry, 1914 baseball great. Not impressed. You wouldn't make the roster now. I don't want to hear about what you did in 1914. I don't. Anyway.
Just disrespecting Honus Wagner over there. That's what you're doing. Tris Speaker could play today.
Pitchers, specifically.
Yeah, I know. I know what you mean.
Pitchers, specifically.
Mm-hmm.
No interest in hearing about your great exploits.
Yeah.
Throwing 83 miles an hour. Because the long man on the Mariners would have been the ace on any staff back then. But I digress. We don't need to annoy everyone just yet. Point of the dude's story.
Yeah.
I need Rob Manfred. I know he's got a lot on his plate right now. He's a busy guy. I need Rob Manfred.
Stop what you're doing.
Stop everything that you're doing right now.
Do nothing else today.
Pick up the phone. You get those teams back on the horn, and you say, we're headed back to the ball yard. You want to do it now, or do you want to start? We're going to pick up where we left off tomorrow. What a joke that was. A game decided because Michael Conforto put his arm in the strike zone to get a walk-off. Don Mattingly was livid, and Donnie Baseball was so correct.
100% correct. If I'm Don Mattingly, nobody leaves.
Who's the home plate umpire? I got to look this up. I'm going to look up who the home plate umpire. I'm adding him to my list of the umpires that I can't stand. I got a list of about 11 of them. That guy's on the list.
He's on the – congratulations,
you
made the list.
It took one moment. For Angel Hernandez, you could be terrible for 56 years calling balls and strikes. You get on the list.
And then you get mad if you don't get playoff assignments, by the way.
That guy stinks. There was a video that came out yesterday of his awesome game. It must be baseball season. It's like a three-minute-long video of all of his missed calls. Think about how many calls you have to miss for a three-minute-long Twitter video of all the balls and strikes that you got wrong.
Ron Culpa.
Oh, Ron Culpa.
Mea culpa, Ron. You botched it, big cat.
Ron Culpa.
Take a moment. So, in all sincerity, if I'm Rob Manfred, like, you and I have these things that are just burrs in our pantaloons when it happens. I need everyone to feel the same sense of emergency and the same sense of urgency. This cannot stand for another second. New rule immediately. Change the language. This we'll call it the Conforto rule from here on out. If I'm Rob Manfred, I walk into the room with my senior people and and I say, gentlemen, ladies, people, this can never happen again. Fix this immediately. This, what just happened today, can never, ever happen again in our sport. Ever. Once. Anybody that is responsible for this, punishment. Should never, ever, 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 ever happen again. Just an embarrassment. It's a strike. It's a strike.
Mattingly, after the game, quoted as saying, he knows it was a strike, talking about Ron Culpa. There was nothing he could do. He can't go backwards. So I guess his point was, I blew the call. And then on review, you're only able, I suppose, to review did he
the
get
ball
hit
touch,
or not.
Yeah. And it grazed a little bit, it looked like to me.
The elbow?
Yeah.
Well, he got hit.
Yeah, it looked like it grazed it, not significantly, but it did. It touched.
Well, I'm not arguing that. Right. I'm not saying he missed that call. He did get hit because his arm was over the strike zone.
Strike.
Where the ball was soaring into the mitt for strike three. This is Don Mattingly.
You know, I really think he knows it was a strike. And there was nothing he couldn't go backwards in his mind. So that, yeah, honestly, he's probably feeling bad. To be honest with you, I bet he feels awful. Because they don't want to do that either. Right? They don't want to mess the game. I mean, not necessarily mess the game up, but they don't want to end like that. You don't want to strike.
I'm sure he feels awful.
Sorry, you feel bad.
Guess what? Get it right.
Yeah, robots don't have emotion.
By the way, you're ready for robots.
Beyond ready.
Why can't he get it right? He says, oh, they can't change it. Sure you can. You come back after you see the review and you go over to the crew. And you get everyone together and you say, guys, I saw something I wasn't supposed to do. Say, I know that was strike three. I knew in real time and I kind of botched the call.
Yeah.
It's very clear I screwed this up. Let's have a conversation. If it comes up later, one of you guys came to your senses and said, we got to get this right.
Second base umpire said, I could see him stick his arm out. Right. Boom.
Ready, break.
We got a strategy.
Stick to our story. Let's not be the biggest story in sports for the next 24 hours. Our incompetence as a crew. Get it right? What is the point of the exercise? A baseball game was being played between two teams. Please do not determine the outcome. Allow the teams to do that. You just saw on video. You were wrong. So make it right. Grant and Danny on the Fan, what are we good on? And what was good about the first three games the Nats played against the Braves? We'll get to that next on G&D. All right, we'll try out a new segment here on Grant and Danny. Welcome back. You're listening to The Fan. We're going to try good or good on. Could also be called good versus good on. What do you like better, good or good on?
Good or good on.
Okay.
Is what I like. I like your first instinct there.
I like that. So what I'm thinking here for this, Danny, is you and I both use the parlance, the terminology, the diction from time to time. I'm good on something that I'm just over.
Just means I'm all set. I've seen enough.
Don't need to see it ever again. I am good on people who don't use their blinker to change lanes. I am good on Robin Lopez getting 26 minutes.
Yeah, I'm good on Scott Brooks' rotations.
By the way, I know.
I'm all good there.
I know that Robin Lopez scored 19 last night.
So I just don't care.
I don't need anyone to tell me
I
that.
Don't care. I don't care that old Shufflefoot scored 19 points.
I'm good on not being able to go watch the Capitals.
Yeah.
Even if I'm masked up with some social distance after I'm vaccinated. Good on that.
Good on Eric Fetty.
Just in general. Good or good on. I thought about, instead, because we don't have the sounder for it yet, we could have Darius be our sound guy, or our like big voice production guy.
Uh-huh.
So in the past, we would say, okay, give us a game ball. And it would say, game ball. Or give us a gasser. Gasser. We could just tell Darius we want one, and then he'll say good or good on for us. So, like, let's try. So, like, Darius, give me a good.
Good.
Ooh.
All right. Give me, I want it more like a good.
Good.
Oh, that's the one.
That's very good. All right.
Keep that in the chamber. That's a good one.
So, that's pretty good.
That's
there.
Good. We
and
got
he's
that.
Doing it live.
He's doing it live.
This is not tape. This is Darius right
we'll
now.
Do it
doing
live.
It live.
Like, we'll do it live.
Kind of like making an omelet to order, you know?
That's right.
All right, and then the other thing, if we're good on something, would it be he just says good on, or would he say Grant's good on?
What about
Danny's good on?
I'm good on.
Okay, but can he do that tone and emphatic enough as a voice guy?
Let's see. How do you do that?
How do you do that?
I don't know.
So you want him to say, I'm good on?
I'm good on.
I'm not.
That's hard.
Do I have to do the guttural part?
Yeah, try the guttural part.
Yeah, do the deep voice, but also sound like you don't care.
I'm good on.
I actually like that.
It's not bad.
It's not easy to do. It's a tough needle thread there.
Okay. So good or good on. So then let me hear what we've come up with really quick. Let's hear good.
Good.
Okay. And then what's good on going to sound like?
I'm good on.
Yeah. Okay. We'll play the nose plays.
All right, so next we're going to play good or good on for the first time. We're going to do a Nationals edition, but we want you guys to do whatever you want. This could be life stuff. This could be family stuff. This could be dinner that you're making or someone's making for you. Good or good on, something you really like or something that you're completely over.
I'm just all set for good on. Like, good on it, I don't want to say it again. I'm good on it.
And maybe you'll give us one of each. Fill up the phones next. Gambit DC listener lines, 800-636-1067. We'll kick it off with the Nats. Good or good on. Stretch run of Grant and Danny with you until 6:45 tonight ahead of the Caps pregame show. Caps Bruins, 7 o'clock, 1 hour out, right here on The Fan. This song was my jam. This is a little yeah.
It's a great tune.
The one, kind of the remix of this with Ludacris and Usher and 16 other people that were all in it. That was great. That was promo 6 for your boy.
Oh, sure,
high school promo 6. That's the song I remember dancing to.
I still went out at that point in my life.
Ah, did you?
I did.
Okay.
Yeah, I was out. I
would have been where? To go to the store?
No. Past like 10, 11 p.m.
Oh, man.
At places where they'd have music on, beer.
My prom in 2006, it was this. It was like 14 50 Cent songs.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of what album would have just dropped at that point for 50 Cent. But it was like, Candy Shop and the club, and like when he was at his best, that was all within the 4 years of my high school. And so our senior year for prom, it was all those songs.
Just so much 50 Cent.
Underrated. He had a couple of great,
really good, really good tunes.
Every single song, one after another, was super popular and everybody downloaded by the millions. All right, let's get into good or good on. Danny, you start the show.
Darius, I'd like to start positively. Could I have a good, please?
Good.
Victor Robles is a leadoff hitter. Are we doing this thing, Victor, where you take pitches and don't strike out on balls that are a foot and a half outside that look like pitch outs? Are you getting base hits? Are you stealing bases? Victor Robles, one weekend, not really weekend, it's 3 days in the middle of the week, but you get my point. One series, you look like a leadoff man. I'm good.
We're sticking with the positive then. Let's go with the good.
Good.
I'm really enjoying what I'm seeing so far out of Steven Strasburg.
Yeah, baby.
Looked healthy at the end of the spring, told us, don't worry, I'm just fine. And so far, so good. His changeup, he threw it about 19% of the time yesterday. It's between like 87 and 89 miles an hour. The fade, the deception with his arm speed on that pitch tailing away is unbelievable. 6 innings of 1-hit, 8 strikeout ball from Stras. His change is one of the 5 best pitches in the sport. I refuse to listen to anyone who says otherwise. He had complete command and control yesterday of everything. Dominant outing for him. 3 games into the season. Stras, A+. Max, I'm going to say a C+, probably. Mm-hmm. He went 6 innings and punched out 9, even though he gave up 4 solo shots. And then Fetty gets the letter that his name starts with, an F. Didn't get out of the second and blew a big lead. That, to me, is your starting rotation so far, but Stras in the good column.
Masson, in their brief time where actually they televised baseball, and we're talking about baseball, you could see they did some slow-mo replays of the changeup in Strasburg's hand. It looks like you or me holding a golf ball because of how big and massive his hands are and how flexible it is as he's doing that. It really is a miracle of nature. Darius, I'd like a good on, please.
I'm good on.
Hernan Perez, whenever that's over, I'll be fine. I'm happy. Thank you very much, Hernan.
What do you got against Hernan Perez?
Nothing. Good for you. You got another day in the sun. You got a time to play in the big leagues. That's awesome. I'm just all set. Six strikeouts and 8 at bats. 3/4 of the time, you could pluck most guys out of the stands. If they didn't swing the bat, they'd strike out 6 times and 8 at bats. Maybe they could manage a couple more, but you see my point. Very, very, very ineffective. He shouldn't be here. It's not his fault. I don't blame him at all. I blame the circumstances, but I'm all set.
I'll go, I'm good on.
I'm good on.
Eric Fetty, come on, buddy. You know I love you. You know I got nothing of nice things to say about
you. Hey, bud.
You were drafted in the first round at a UNLV. I was a believer, man. I've been a believer in yours for a long time. How many opposites are you going to get? It seems like every year, for whatever reason, you're the Reed Dowdy of the Washington Nationals.
Just thrust into it, man.
You keep getting ops, and I need you at one point, at some point, to just take it and run with it. Make good on one of these opportunities. Now, people that are saying it's time to move on from Eric Fetty, or you know they shouldn't let him keep starting, that's ridiculous and incorrect. Here's why. First of all, it's a start, okay, number one. It's a tiny sample size. You can't make big decisions off of one start. Now, if your point is this is years of this, understood, you're right, I get it. However, who are they turning to?
Who is available?
You don't have other options. The guy behind him, who's probably going to pitch in L.A. after Joe Ross, is Austin Voth. He's basically Eric Fetty with less pre-draft track record. One of those guys went in the first round. The other is Voth. Fetty, you would think, has a little bit more upside and potential. They don't really have organizational pitching depth that they want. Eventually, Cade Cavallo, they drafted in the first round out of Oklahoma, will be in the big leagues a couple of years from now. Eventually, Jackson Rutledge, who they drafted in the first round a year before that, will be in the major leagues probably a year or so from now. In the meantime, though, you don't have major league-ready pitching prospects who are going to pitch at a high level in the major leagues. You don't have veterans like Anibal Sanchez waiting in the wings that you can just throw into the mix. And, oh, by the way, you're down Corbin and you're down Lester. So you need Fetty to pitch. You need Voth to pitch. Cross your fingers. Hope they can give you the best versions of themselves. And you can get by for a couple of weeks here. But this is a reason to be nervous, I would say, big picture. Normally, to get through 162 games, you need 7 or 8 starting pitchers over the course of a year who throw pretty well. This year, Danny, 162 games, first time in my lifetime, the jump from last year is so massive in terms of the innings on these arms that you're going to have to treat pretty much any non-veteran horse with kid gloves. You're going to have to baby them. You're going to have to get them out of games earlier. You might have to skip some starts from time to time. You might need 8, 9, 10 starting pitchers per team
this
year. That's
a great point.
Over 162 games. The Nats don't really have 8, 9, or 10 starting pitchers. Now, most teams don't, in fairness to them, but the Nats definitely don't because they spend so much money on their number one, their number two, and their number three. So they lack that depth. It's why you need Fetty to be better, Ross when he gets the call tomorrow, Voth the day after that. We need you, boys. 5, 6, and 7 in the organizational pecking order here. I need you to figure it out.
Darius, I'd like a I'm good on, please.
I'm good on.
The rest of their lineup not being available. You touched on Lester, and you touched on Patrick Corbin. Well, I need Juan Soto to get pitches to hit more than once a game. I need Juan Soto to be allowed to do what Juan Soto does, which is terrorize opponents, which is hit line drives in places where there are no fielders, hit balls over the fencing they have set up in the outfield for things that we like to call home runs. At this rate, Juan Soto is not going to do that much damage on offense beyond walk a lot and get some exercise sprinting around the bases sometimes when other guys do it and break up some double plays. I need Josh Bell, Kyle Schwarber. I need my regulars back in this lineup ASAP. I'm good on them not being available. Mostly, A, I want to see Schwarber and Bell and all those guys, mostly Bell. But really, the thing that I want more than anything else, somebody's got to have to pitch to Juan Soto. I need that to happen ASAP.
Good or good on? I like that little maiden voyage.
It's a little game.
Might play it from time to time on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. All right, I mentioned this earlier. We didn't get into it. So you have not seen this video yet, Danny, but I'll explain what happened. So Shaq walks into I believe it was a Zales from what he said on TV last night. Walks into a jewelry store. Guy is at the counter checking out. And apparently this guy is making a payment on an engagement ring.
Okay.
Most people don't just buy the ring in full up front. You got a payment plan, right? You got to buy an engagement ring. You get to take it home. You put your down payment down like you're buying a house or a car.
We've all done it.
And once a month, you're shipping off that check. You're going into the store to pay that sucker down. Well, Shaq is walking in, and this is how much thought he put into it, legitimately. You can see it on the video. He's like walking by, sees this guy discussing it, asking how much he needs to pay to the person at the register, digs into his pocket, pulls out his credit card. He walks by, hands it to the kid at the register, and just doesn't break stride.
Amazing.
He's like, I'll take care of that. Hands his credit card and keeps walking to go shop for, I think he said he was looking for earrings or something. I love stories like this. I think that that's the best to me.
So phenomenal. Because there's no way that there's an expectation there. You know what I mean? Like, if you go to a restaurant and you're a millionaire hundreds of times over, as Shaq surely is, and you're at a diner and you order a $19.95 meal, it'd be nice if you left a pretty substantial tip, but it's not necessarily the requirement, but that would be really cool, and that's a small thing. This is life-changing stuff. That's what it is. I mean, taking that off of somebody's plate can be a life-changing type thing. And what a story that guy has. Where, you know, I have to overtell the engagement story a billion times over. How about yours? Well, the proposal was something, but Shaquille O'Neal, you know, NBA Hall of Famer Shaquille O'Neal, who won five championships, or maybe it's six, I can't remember, maybe five. He paid for my wedding ring, my engagement ring.
Thank God it's on video, because nobody would believe it.
Yeah.
If you just told someone, Shaq walked into the jewelry store I was at today and bought the engagement ring I was trying to pay for, nobody would buy that. It would be a Goonies scene where they're saying, no, I didn't meet Michael Jackson, but I met his sister. Like, nobody believes
no
you,
believes
Chunk.
You.
You're just making stuff up. Now you're changing your story, Mouth. This guy has Shaq pay for his ring, and Shaq doesn't break stride. And you're right about this. It doesn't change how beautiful and amazing this is. It actually probably makes it even more incredible. But to Shaq, he's not going to notice on his credit card bill, maybe. You know, that ring. Or he might remember, oh, I did that thing. Like, that's his, what's this $52 charge here for you?
Right.
When you're like, what did I?
Oh, I got gas.
That's what Shaq's doing. And for this guy, it is a yearly, maybe a life-changing, but certainly a year-changing event. Shaq was asked about this when the video went viral yesterday on Turner Sports last night as part of his studio show. Here's what he had to say.
Look at this. Shaq randomly played for a young man's engagement ring?
You know what happened yesterday?
When did this happen?
This happened yesterday. So I was in Zales looking for some hoop earrings. And I seen the guy.
Harlan, with the blue shirt on?
Yeah.
You went to the mall and went to Zales?
Wait, what? You want me to go to Piedmont Park? You're going to Zales?
First of all, I have a jewelry line at Zales, first of all.
Oh, okay. Ooh, my bad.
What
my
kind
bad.
Of jewelry?
Yeah, everything. So anyway, I went in there to get some hoop earrings. And I seen a guy come in. He was just so shy. He was saying, hey, how much do I owe to pay off my ring? It was just, and I was like, my man, how much is the ring? And I'm not going to say the amount, but yeah. It's not enough to me. But I just, you know, and this is something that I do every day. The other day, me and my mom went furniture shopping. And this lady, she had a autistic daughter. Mm. And, you know, she was also, you know, looking to pay for some furniture. And I just took care of it. So I meant to. I'm into making people happy. So whenever I leave the house, I just try to do a good deed. Like, I didn't mean for that to get out because I don't do it for that. But, like, the guy just came in and, you know, he's a young kid. He's a hardworking guy. He's like, hey, man, I can come back next month. And the next, like, layaway. Like, he's,
yeah.
You know, he put some money down. But I was like, you know what? Tell your girlfriend I got to take care of it. At first, he didn't want to take it. He's like, man, I can't do that. I said, don't worry about it. I do it all the time. So,
I think that's just awesome.
It's phenomenal. Everything, but first of all, everything about that segment is great.
Yeah,
number one, Shaq sounds so tired. I don't know why he always sounds so tired to me.
Well, he cannot. Now's the part where we can joan on Shaq a little bit. He is too good for the segment in that if you want him to bring energy, you got the wrong guy.
Right.
He's seen basketball before. He's not that excited to talk about it.
And I love, by the way, the other NBA guys. I think it's Dwayne Wade there.
I think it sounded like Dwayne Wade.
Yeah, I think it's Dwayne Wade. I apologize. I don't have it right. But they're instantly trained on him. You went to Zales? Because every one of those guys has like a diamond guy, you know, some great hookup or kind of whatever. And I have a jewel line in Zales, first of all. And they're like, oh, my bad. And that was very awkward, which made me laugh, which was very fun. I enjoyed that part.
He's like, That's a company that I do business with. Whoops.
Whoops. Sorry, my fault. Anyway,
we
tell
love
the story.
Sales.
We're big sales guys. Anyway, which I thought was great. But then, just I don't know, man. It's one of those things that makes you feel really good. And I know we're not supposed to do that. Everyone's supposed to be cynical and ticked off all the time and complain about stuff. I think it's an incredible thing. Like, good for Shaq.
I like talking about these kinds of stories because there's plenty of the opposite. Now, this player gets arrested. This guy is in trouble for this and getting suspended for that. So many guys doing stuff like this all the time. And I think the thing I like most about this is Shaq basically said, it just so happened this got caught on camera. But I do this stuff a lot. And I'll bet you a lot of guys do stuff like this. And you don't want to be called out and shamed for publicizing it or posting a video. I am first team, by the way. If you do something like this and you post a video about it, I think it's great. I'm not going to make fun of you for that. You know why? Because you might be inspiring people to do more of that. You might be encouraging people or giving them the idea, or other players or other celebrities see it and they go, I'll do that too. I think good and happiness can kind of lead to more good and happiness and people doing the right thing. A lot of people will make fun of you if you post a video of yourself doing something nice. But people are going to make fun of you no matter what. People make fun of everyone. People aren't that nice on the internet. Newsflash.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't have a problem if Shaq did this every day and posted a video every day. Here's but the fact that he doesn't.
Buying a Krispy Kreme. Yeah,
and he just said, I just like doing stuff like this. Like there is someone who just had their furniture, it sounds like, paid for this weekend by Shaq and Shaq's mom.
So would you – I was trying to put myself in that situation, right? Listen to the story because I hadn't seen the video. If I'm sitting there about to buy something major like that, right, whatever it is, and Shaq rolls in to where I happen to be, and he's like, let me get it for you. My instinct, of course, would be the same thing. I'd be like, no, don't do that for me. Like, would you be able to take it? I think I would
do the same thing the guy
if he insisted. Yeah. Yeah. Initially, I'd be like, no, come on. But if he said, don't worry about it, I'll do it all the time. Okay. Yeah. I guess I can, Shaquille O'Neal. If this is routine for you.
I would absolutely put up the initial fight.
Because you do that thing like with the check or whatever. No,
say,
come
it's
on.
The same as like, oh, please let me pay. And then someone says, no, this one's on me.
Okay, no problem.
Sure. That's okay. You just try not to put your wallet back in your pocket so fast that it's clear. If Charles Barkley had tried to pay for somebody's ring when he walked into a store, what would that have sounded like?
I'm gonna buy the ring. Well, how much the ring cost? Oh, that's too much. Never mind. There's an uglier ring I could get for him that doesn't have diamonds on it, that's got cubic zirconia, cubic zirconia on it. I like to spend a little bit less money on that because I like to gamble.
We did.
Back to you, Ernie.
We did never get into his Jimmy's or Joe's thing.
Oh, it was so good, wasn't it?
Any kind of Barkley rant that goes viral, to me, if it's Barkley sounding like a goof, and he, by the way, is that show is great.
Yep.
Him and Kenny and Ernie, and I think if you subbed any one person in and took one of them out, then the balance wouldn't be just perfect and just right. Super entertaining. The thing I've come to really respect about him is more than anyone else, I think, on TV at this point, that guy speaks his mind. At a time where we're all walking around
great.
Afraid
he
of our own shadow.
He doesn't care. It's so refreshing.
Every comment I make is measured. Everything I say, I've kind of run through my head, run through all my governors to make sure I don't make anybody upset. Charles Barkley just doesn't care. But whenever he comes out with a comment like the Jimmys or the Joes or the X's or the O's, it's you.
Yeah.
It's you making fun of Charles Barkley. That's what it, you know, it's him doing Danny's version of Barkley to me.
There's two teams. One of them has Joe. The other one has two Jimmys. But the Jimmy team going to beat the Joe team because Joe can't play. And if Jimmy can cover Joe 2-on-2 on the backcourt, then the half-court team that has more Jimmys is going to understand that Joe is not going to be able to play with them. Back to you, Ernie. And everyone's like, we don't know how to react to this. Like, what? Nothing about that made sense. And bless his heart. I think he was trying to say, like, one team's got better players than the other.
But you tell me right now, people listening of America on the Odyssey
Jimmy.
App.
Durst going to play Jimmy.
Or in the D.C. area on 106.7 The Fan. You tell me this isn't Charles Barkley doing his impression of Danny, doing his impression of Charles Barkley.
The dip between Baylor and Gonzaga and these other teams. Houston got some Joes. All these teams got some Joes. These the only two guys got gyms and Joes, and that's what win games. A lot of teams got gyms and gyms. A lot of teams got some Joes. Baylor and Gonzaga, the only team, they're the only two teams in the tournament got gyms and Joes.
That's you doing Barkley.
And there's G.I. Joe, and Cobra's the bad guy, the Cobra Commander. Destro, his number two. And there's Snake Eyes, but there's lots of Jameses and Peters and Fields and Donnies. You ever met a Donnie? What's his real name? Donald, but he just go by Donnie. Back to you. What the? It was such a. I don't know, man.
Play it again, Derek. I want you to play it again. And I'm going to write it down as I go, my translation of exactly.
Are you going to translate it, or are you going to try to stenographer
just
the thing?
Just what he meant to say. Here we go.
Okay.
The dip between Baylor and Gonzaga and these other teams.
Sorry, do that again.
Houston got some Joes.
Start that again. We're glossed over this part of it, by the way. That word is difference.
The dip between Baylor and Gonzaga and these other teams. Houston got some Joes. All these teams got some Joes. These the only two guys got gyms and Joes, and that's what win games. A lot of teams got gyms and gyms. A lot of teams got some Joes. Baylor and Gonzaga, the only team, they're the only two teams in the tournament got gyms and Joes.
You can't have gyms and gyms.
But he almost, it's a cross between difference and the word dipping dots.
The dip between Baylor and Gonzaga.
The dip in tween. Dip in tween. I think, so here's what I got out of that. Gyms and Joes, the idea is you need great players, okay? He's saying some guys have Joes, meaning some guys have a great player. You have a Joe.
You got a Joe.
Some guys have a Jim, which is a great player as well. It's just a different name for it.
Okay.
But like if you have a Joe, you have a great player. If you have a Jim, you also have a great player. If you have a Jim and a Joe, now you have two great players. The problem with his theory, though, or what he's saying, he says some teams have two gyms, like a gym and a gym. But that would be two great players. If a gym is equal to a Joe, and now you're saying this team has a gym and a gym, it's the same as having a gym and a Joe. But then he already told us that there's only two teams that have a gym and a Joe.
But then sometimes you root for Jim to get together with Pam, but she engaged to Roy at the start of the season. And then season three, they kiss at the gas station, and everything, they get engaged, and they get married at Niagara Falls.
One more time here.
The dipping dot.
See if I'm wrong about this.
Yeah.
He does say at one point, he says some teams have a gym and a gym. And that means the same as a gym and a Joe.
There's too many gyms.
He's literally saying you have two great players. That's what you're saying Baylor and Gonzaga is differentiating factor is.
The dip between Baylor and Gonzaga and these other teams.
The dip between.
Houston got some Joes. All these teams got some Joes. These the only two guys got gyms and Joes. And that's what win games. A lot of teams got gyms and gyms. A lot of teams got some Joes. Baylor and Gonzaga, the only team, they're the only two teams in the tournament got gyms and Joes.
He's the best. There's one of Charles Barkley on this planet.
One.
There's a lot of guys like me. There's a lot of guys that do what I do. I'm not special. I'm not interesting. My salary says as much. Intercom, Odyssey knows it. You know, everyone knows it.
Everyone's aware.
If I don't show up tomorrow, you're going to be sitting here with another guy and everyone will call in and say, great show, guys. You guys are the best. I get it. There's one Charles Barkley.
Yeah, they don't make 6'4 power forwards that are Hall of Famers. You know what I mean? Just on guts and don't give a damn.
But if I could take one thing from him.
It's the dip between.
No, it's not the dip between. It's the fact that he doesn't care what anyone thinks and he's going to tell you what he actually thinks. And he's okay with that. He can sleep at night. G&D on the Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.